My text verse this morning is verse 27, where it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." In the couple of verses before that, Paul was talking about how there's some things that in the past were mysterious about the things of God. But in this particular time, God has made those things known to us. And Paul says, here's one of the mysteries that I'm going to talk to the Gentiles about. And he was talking to the Gentiles as he wrote the book of Colossians here. He says, which is, here's the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, some people would read that verse and they say, well, he's talking about heaven. If Christ is in you, then you have a hope for glory. And I want to tell you this morning, that's not what that verse is talking about. The glory that's talking about in verse 27 is not heaven. Because if Christ is in you and you are in Christ, heaven is not just a hope. It's a for sure thing. Because John 3:16 doesn't say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should hope not to perish, and to hope to have eternal life." No, that's not what it says. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, and have everlasting life." It's a for sure thing. When Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer, he didn't say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and hope to be saved." He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you have more than a hope. You have an assurity that you are on your way to heaven. And by the way, if you're not in Christ and Christ is not in you, then let me just tell you this morning, you're going to hell. And don't believe these folks that tell you hell is a figment of somebody's imagination. It's a place that God made up to scare us into getting saved. Hell is a real place. The Bible talks more about hell than it does about heaven. It's a bottomless pit. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of fire. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It was a place that God prepared for Satan and all his demons. God never intended for any person to go to hell. It was not made for that reason. And the only reason that people go to hell is that they choose to. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never admitted that you were a sinner, you say, "Oh, preacher, you don't even know me. I'm not a sinner." Well, let me talk to you for about 2 seconds, and I think we'll come to the same conclusion. You, just like me, are a sinner. It only takes one sin to make us a sinner. Only takes one misdeed to make us a sinner. Only takes one misthought to make us a sinner. Yeah, we compare ourselves to other people and we may measure up pretty good. But that's why the Bible says, don't compare yourself to another man. Compare yourself to the glory of God. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ, his Son. And when we compare ourselves to Jesus, we all fall short of the mark and we know we're all sinners. And so, if you're here today and you've never admitted to God that you were a sinner, never believe that Jesus was the only hope for your sin. And by the way, he is. You don't get to heaven any other way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You don't get to heaven and you don't get inside God and God doesn't get inside of you just because you came to church this morning. I'm glad you're here. I think it's wonderful that you're here. But don't you come in a lost sinner and expect to go out a saved saint just because you sat in a pew this morning. It doesn't work that way. If we had communion, you don't get saved by taking the Lord's Supper. If we baptized you, you don't get saved by being baptized. All those are good things. But those are not things that lead one to get in Christ and Christ in you. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so again, if you're here today and you've never admitted to God that you were a sinner, never believed that Jesus was the Son of God and He was the only way to get to heaven, and never confessed with your mouth and said, and not these exact words, but words like this, "Lord, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell, but I believe in Jesus as my Savior and I'm accepting Him right now to take me to heaven." And if you've never, ever done that, here's what I do. If you're here like that this morning, I wouldn't wait till I got done preaching. I wouldn't wait. I'd raise my hand right now, and I'll get your attention. I'll ask you, you want to get saved? I'll send one of our men or one of our ladies out with you to the back, and they will tell you right now, this very minute, how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. I wouldn't wait. The Lord may come in the next 15 minutes. He may come before I get through preaching. And if you're here and you have never, ever received Christ as your Savior, I beg you, just stand up, raise your hand, let me know. Again, we'll tell you about Jesus you need to know, because He's the only way that you can get to heaven. Now, going back to verse 27, if glory is not heaven, and it says, here's the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If glory is not heaven, what is glory? Well, verse 28 helps us, because it says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Again, that word perfect doesn't mean perfect. It means mature. It means that you are growing to be more like Christ. It means that you are fulfilling the plan that God has for you in your life. In fact, that's what that word glory means. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is that I will grow, I will become more like Jesus Christ, and I will grow and become what He wants me to be right now. That's the glory that's in that verse. Some people think, well, no, that's the glory when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we'll be free from all our sin. We'll have a new body, and we'll be exactly like Jesus. Well, that's true, but God doesn't want us to wait to get to heaven to get this glory that He's talking about in this verse. You see, God has a plan for every single one of our lives. Every single person in this room, God has a plan for your life. That plan includes, first of all, you getting saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the first step in every person's plan that's sitting in this room this morning, and every person that's ever lived, every person that's ever been born, is for that person to get saved, to come to Jesus Christ as their Savior. But then God says, I have a plan for you. I have something that you want to be. And as you become that, that's the glory that I have. And that's what it says when it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's a hope because most of us aren't there yet. It's a hope because we haven't arrived yet. Paul says, I haven't got there yet. I'm still striving for it. I'm pressing toward that mark, the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. So God's got a plan, just like an artist. When he or she goes to paint a picture, they have a blank canvas, they have a bunch of paint. They have in their mind what they want that picture to look like when they get through painting it. That's the way God is in our lives. He has a picture in His mind, His plan for our lives, that He wants us to be when He gets done, when we get done. Or a sculptor. When he has a block of granite or a block of wood or something like that, that he takes a chisel, he already has in his mind what he wants that statue to look like. And that's the way God is. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, His picture, His statue, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I saw a little knick-knack at the airport the other day. On the top of it was a person. On the bottom was a block of wood. And on the bottom it says, don't criticize me, God's not done yet. So here's a person on a block of wood, just like you see me behind the pulpit. And on this little piece of wood right here, it says, "Don't criticize me. God's not done yet." And I thought about that little chorus we sing sometimes. He's still working on me to make me all I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars. Sun and stars, Earth and Moon and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And I'm glad that God has got a plan. And the glory that's talked about in verse 27, the hope of glory is that I become what God wants me to become, that you become what God wants you to be. That's glory. And what is that hope? It's Christ in us. Hey, as long as I have Christ in me, as long as you have Christ in you, you have the hope to be what God wants you to be. Now, I want to say three things. You always know I have about 3 points, so you know I'm getting to my message when I say I want to say three things. These things that I'm going to say this morning are not deep or profound. If you came this morning, if you're visiting with us, if you came to hear something deep or profound, you probably came to the wrong place. But I want to say three simple things this morning, not deep, not profound, but they are very, very true. Number one, God never gives up on us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God never gives up on us. You may have been saved for years and years and years, and you still don't come to Sunday school. You don't come to church on Sunday night. You don't come to church on Wednesday night. You don't read your Bible on a consistent basis. You don't pray on a consistent basis. You don't tithe on a consistent basis. You never told anybody about Jesus. Still have the wrong attitude about different people. Still don't love everybody the way that Jesus told us to love everybody. Still are not kind to everybody the way that Jesus told us to be kind one to another. But I want to remind you this morning, I want to give you some encouragement and hope. God has not given up on you and me. Jesus is still in us. He is our hope of glory. There is still a chance that we can be what he wants us to be. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And so I get saved, and the Holy Spirit moves into me. The part of God that Jesus sent when he went back to heaven, that part of the Godhead moved in and took residence in my body. I have God living in me this morning. And so do you if you're a Christian. By the way, that's one of the good things about getting saved. One of the good things about getting saved is not only not having to go to hell, is not only getting to go to heaven, you get God takes up residence in your body and helps you make it through this life. You have God living inside of you, just like I do this morning if you're a Christian. And again, I've said many, many times from this place, I do not know how people that do not know God, that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that do not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, I don't know how they make it in this world. Just don't know. But God doesn't give up on us. I may have been saved as long as I've been saved. I've been saved for almost 40 years. It's a long time, isn't it, Brother Wendell? Longer than you've been alive, right? Not quite. I like to tell people that. I've been saved for a long time. There are still things in my life that are not where they need to be. There are still things that I don't do that I know to do. There are still things I do that I know not to do. Paul talks about it over in the book of Corinthians. Those things I know to do, I don't do. And those things I know not to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I want to tell you something. God hadn't given up on me. Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. I still have a chance to be what God wants me to be, and so do you. It does not matter what you've been in your Christian life up to this point. It does not matter. God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you still have a chance, and I still have a chance to be what God wants us to be. And that truth is taught over and over and over, hundreds of times in the Bible. You look at the story in the book of Hosea, a love story. The nation of Israel had turned away from God. In chapter 4, verse 17, here's what God said about the nation of Israel. He called them Ephraim. He said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. My people have turned away from me. They've hooked up with these idols. I am just going to leave my people alone. They've turned their back on me. I'm just going to ignore them like they've ignored me. Yet in the next few verses, here's what God says. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? God says, I can't give you up. You're my child. I brought you up. Hey, just like a mom or a dad who birth a little baby, and they raise that little baby. They love that little baby. They provide for that little baby. And then that little baby becomes that dreaded thing called a teenager. And they turn away from the teachings of their mom and dad. Maybe it's a little bit when they get a little bit older. Maybe when it's they move out of house. They turn away from their mom and dad. They turn away from the teachings of their mom and dad. And I've sat with some parents and they've wept. And they said, I just don't understand how this could happen. I just don't understand how my child could walk away from me. And sometimes they talk about disowning their children. But at the end, every mom and dad I've sat with have come to the same place that God came to. And they picture what God is. How can I give you up? I cannot give you up. You were my child. You're my child. I can't give you up. And that's what God says to us. We're His children. Doesn't matter how many times we've disappointed Him. Doesn't matter how many times we've turned away from Him. He never, ever gives up on us. Jacob went to Bethel. He met God. And then he went to Haran. And for 20 years, he lived outside of the will of God. 20 years, he was over there. When Rebekah sent him over there, it was just until Esau got over the fact that he stole his blessing. She had no plan, no idea that he was going to stay as long as he stayed. And God didn't plan for him to stay as long as he stayed. I think in those 20 years, God called him home many, many times. He said, hey, Jacob, I want you to go back to I want you to go back to your family. I want you to go back to the land of Canaan. I want you to be there like Abraham was there and Isaac was there. I want to give you that land. But Jacob was over there in Haran. He was having too much fun. He was getting married. He was having children. He was collecting wealth. And in those 20 years, he did not heed the call of God to go home until he finally got it all and he realized that what the world has to offer doesn't satisfy. He said the same thing that Solomon said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And God said, hey, Jacob, I want you to go home. And Jacob took his family and his children, his wives and his children, and he went back to Bethel. You may be in a place where God does not want you to be, but I want to tell you this morning, He does not give up on us. Jonah. Hey, Jonah, I want you to go preach in Nineveh. And Jonah says, not me. He went to Joppa and got on a ship and headed toward Tarshish in the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story. God sent a storm and they threw him off the boat and he was in the belly of a whale. And here's what God says. Hey, Jonah, I still see you preaching at Nineveh. I still see the great revival that you're going to lead at Nineveh. I see the mayor getting saved in Nineveh, and I see the city council getting saved in Nineveh. I see every single mom and dad and boy and girl getting saved in Nineveh. I haven't given up on you, Jonah. And Jonah got, I can't think of the word. It's a big word that means puked. But he got thrown out of that whale. And the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, arise and go to Nineveh and preach there the message that I want you to preach. God doesn't give up on us. Number two, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. I know people who have been saved and they think God's going to take all their bad habits away just like that. They get saved and they think God's going to take all their bad language away just like that. They get saved and they think God's going to make them into a new creature overnight. And you are a new creature. All things are new in Christ. But there's some things that take some time for God to get rid of. And I know new Christians, they do something and they say, man, I never thought I would do that again. And they get discouraged. And they say, maybe I can't make it. Maybe this Christianity is something that I can't handle. And I want to tell you this morning, God doesn't give up on you. Don't you give up on yourself. It takes time sometimes to change a habit. It takes time to grow. You don't birth a little baby and expect them to act like an adult. You give that little baby a chance to grow. You need to give yourself a chance to grow. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 16, the Bible says this, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." It doesn't say an unjust. It doesn't say the heathen. It says a just man, somebody that's saved, falls seven times and gets up. And he falls and he gets up. And he falls and he gets up and he falls and he gets up and he falls and he gets up. I say, preacher, I've exhausted my seven times. Well, I'll remind you what Christ told Peter. How many times should I forgive those that have wronged against me? Seven times? And Jesus said, not seven times, 70 times seven. Number seven is God's number. It's a number of perfection. There's no limit to it. What that verse is saying is, if you fall, get up. If you fall again, get up again. If you fall again, get up again. God does not give up on us. We should not give up on ourselves. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We still have a chance to be what God wants us to be. So don't give up on yourself. And then, number three, don't give up on others. Don't give up on others. Sometimes it amazes me how intolerant we are with other people. We've been saved for a long time, and somebody gets saved, and we expect them to be just like us in the matter of a few weeks, a few months, a few years. I read a story one time about a black lady. She went through town square, and she saw a block of wood sitting in the town square. She came back a few days later, and she saw out of that block of wood somebody had carved Abraham Lincoln. And she said this, "I didn't know he was in there. I didn't know he was in there." Now, I want to tell you something. I've been pastor at this church for almost 19 years. Here when it started and took a little time off and came back. And there are people sitting in these pews today that I want to say the same thing that that black lady said. When I look at their life today and I think about what they were 18, 17, 16 years ago, I got to say, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know it was in there. You see, what you are today, and hopefully what I am today, is different than what we were when we first met. There have been times when you guys should have just fired me. But you haven't. Because you didn't give up on me. And there have been times that I wanted to take some of you to the woodshed. But I didn't, because I didn't give up on you. And here's what I'm saying this morning. Let's not give up on each other. God doesn't give up on us. We fall. He not only says, hey, get up. He comes down and says, hey, let me help you get up. In fact, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He rushes to us and helps us get up. And if God doesn't give up on us, And Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we still have a chance to be what he wants us to be. And that's what's going to bring glory to him. You see, I become what he wants me to be, not so that I can bring glory to myself. That's not the reason. That's not why you try to be more like Jesus to bring glory to yourself. You try to be more like him and be what he wants you to be so you can bring glory to him. To him. And so, God doesn't give up on us. And I'm glad he doesn't. Let's not give up on ourselves. And let's not give up on each other. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can be what God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the truth that's in this book. And Father, I